up in the morning, out on the job. I work like the devil for my pay. I know that a lucky old son has nothing to do to rule around heaven all day. I fuss with my woman, and I toil with my kids. I sweat till I'm wrinkled and gray. I know that lucky old son has nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Dear Lord above, don't you see I'm pining? I got tears all in my eyes. Why don't you send down that cloud with the silver lining? Lift me up to paradise. Show me that river. Why don't you take me across and wash all my troubles away? I know that lucky old son, he's got nothing to do but just roll around heaven all day. Send down that cloud with the silver lining. Lift me to paradise. Oh, show me that river and take me across. Wash all my troubles away. And I know the lucky old son now, he's got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Yes, sir, he got nothing but roll around heaven all day. I say he just a roll around heaven all day. Now you say it.
Okay, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another lovely day here in Hawaii, and we're all about that lucky old son, Mr. Ray Charles. Unfortunately, a little sad news, but we all know that one day the day of reckoning comes. But Julian Bond, actually Horace Julian Bond, he shares the same name as my grandfather, one of my grandfathers, Horace. And I've had occasion to meet him on a couple occasions and talk. And he gave a lot of his life to take care of issues that involved all of us. And I'm sure that his impressions and the activities that he participated in, and awakening and a learning, teaching people, others have learned from it, and he gave a lot, gave his life actually, quite a bit of it. And you just can't say much more than that. 1940 was born, and now we have him expiring on the 15th of August, 2015. Known normally as Julian Bond, but anyway, I had some things I was going to play, but we also have a little antiquated system here. Hopefully we can get that going and get it fixed, and we won't have the glitches, but life has its glitches, right? But speaking of Mr. Bond, and I think back at recently, a couple things have been crossing my mind where people, this debate about, I shouldn't quantify it or characterize it as a debate, because it's really not a debate. It's just a reaction. And that is Black Lives Matter. Now, for some of you out there may not understand this, but from my perspective, to say that, to chastise blacks for saying that black lives matter, then I would say that you should get off your asses, and when you see an injustice, then you should speak up. Then we all wouldn't have to be hearing that, boy, teach the black people that black lives matter to white lives matter, or yellow lives matter, or red lives matter. An injustice on anyone matters. To us all, that should be. So I don't know exactly where we all get off when we, this effort, if you've been choked over a package of selling cigarettes and you've been shot and killed because of a bottle of gin, and I know some of you out there will say, well, you know, whites get shot too. Well, that's good. But then let's go back. Even if we wanted to say, well, slavery was a bad thing, you must understand something. We're stuck with slavery for the rest of our lives, because if I were to go and change my name to Muhammad Abdullah Yah, you would say that I was a radical black guy. So the dictates that so casually are given to us as African Americans or blacks, I mean, you must understand, we graduated our names, you see, just seeking identity and seeking respect. But remember something. We start off from a different version, the majority of us, as slaves in this country. And so we're already stuck with certain baggage. Regardless how optimistic, how positive you are in life, we're stuck. If you reject this, it's okay. I'm not really preaching to you. I'm just conveying to you from a different perspective. And you can do, obviously you do what you want to do anyway, but just from a perspective of the guy who sees the world from the back of the bus, so to speak. And so when I want to change my name to be assimilate in the culture, I can't. My name is Carol Cox, not Abdullah Hussein Yah or Malcolm, because immediately I would be drawn down on, or followed, or the FBI would be tracking me, and all of the other sources, because it's just an act of wanting to have my identity. So when people are choked, and you see repeatedly women are shot, and I know, again, white people get shot too, but then cry out when you see anyone get shot. Don't wait. And then when you see a black person speaking up saying Black Lives Matter, I think it's misplaced, and it speaks a lot about the willingness of, you're not willing to accept the reality. And what a struggle is a struggle. It doesn't take place in 1 minute. You can't resolve it in 1 minute. You can't resolve it in one meeting. There's a lot of things that goes on. So That situation where I witnessed people saying, well, you know, I don't know why the black people are saying that. All lives matter. You damn right it does. I mean, there's no question. But then we shouldn't have to be the first to run out there and say, stop shooting us. Hey, my tail light was out. I didn't deserve to die. You know, it's that simple. So let's stand back, stand down, and if you think white lives matter, then join in the chorus. If you think yellow lives matter, then join in to the chorus and start singing and start demanding respect for all people. But to take up issue with blacks for it's as if suggesting that we're still thin-skinned and sensitive and selfish, when in fact we're just saying, no, your chokehold, I can't breathe. That's what you see, that's what you feel. And many of you probably wouldn't understand that, and I don't expect you to, because you've grown up in a culture that when a person speaks out, whether it's a woman or whatever, you think that, well, there you go, why can't you just get along and get with it? Well, the way we live, there's a reality. They present themselves daily in the form of killings and the notion that, well, you know, I had someone to share with me that, well, I don't know why there's a big debate and a big protest about black lives matter when black people are killing one another. Well, I'll take you to Bosnia and those places, and take you to Russia, Chechnya, and all of those places. So to see it as a race, it's just when people are begging out and saying, I can't breathe, or why did you stop me, or running and being shot down, and you don't scream human life matters, and you only get involved when there's an angle of being critical of the people that have to say something. Enough is enough. And so for those of you that have read this, talked about it, I want to just share with you from a perspective that all lives matter, we know that. So when you see an injustice, if you believe that black people are wrong when they say black lives matter, then you should join in and remind us all and the system that all lives matter. All lives. Don't wait until trigger your response when you see someone else out complaining about or trying to seek justice through an outcry, a public outcry. But it's a sad note. I mean, Mr. Bond and others, civil rights leaders have actually fought, been in the trenches, and on occasion may have been able to stand up in the trenches without being shot. And he's one of those, if you remember, many of the Medgar Evers and many others have actually been murdered. And many of them, Dr. King and others, and Emmett Till, for example. And how long did it take to prosecute those people? So we have reminders. And so this practice of shooting people for when they are pulled over for taillights, and ending resulting in that, what's the difference between that and putting a sheet over your face and driving down the road and burning houses, instilling fear, the terrorism? So I think that's from a perspective that even myself, driving around, you're always concerned that at any given time, the bullet that has a blessing of a badge on it can kill you. And then in turn, nothing happens. It's probably presented as being must have been doing something wrong. Well, no, it's no more than the average citizen, but many of you are able to go home and leave home and return home safely, and may have had one or two experiences in that trip with law enforcement, but you didn't die. So that's the one angle, one perspective. And when you just got to know, I was saying earlier, when your name is Cox and you want identity and you're always stuck with that. why is your name Cox, or why are you named Smith when you're African descent? Well, the person owned me. Oh, let that go. That's old school. That's things have changed. Yes, it may have changed, but the stench and the scars are still there. Not scars on our minds, but we've never been guaranteed that anyone has said, you know, we were wrong, absolutely wrong. But what happens is you guys need to get over that. You got a chip on your shoulder. It's not right, you know. Come on, just join in the band. Sing along. Be happy. Be comfortable. Well, just a reminder, there are many things out there that just that are in place in society that prevents us from just going and getting along. And I could enumerate them, I've talked to you about many of them, but I won't dwell on it. But anyway, black lives, white lives, all lives matter. We need peace forever, ever, ever. It's the best thing going for mankind. It's the best thing going for this planet, this universe. But to try and being simple and only get vocal when you see this behavior, this outcry, that black lives matter. I would say if I was you and found myself conversing in such fashion, I'd go see a psychiatrist, because I'm not dealing with reality. You don't know that a population of people don't just whine and cry and scream and say you're treating us wrong. The evidence is there. The videos are there. You know, 12-year-old kid shot, toy gun. And you say, well, all lives matter. Apparently, you're right, because we don't see that many whites being murdered by the policemen. If they do, they need to get them cell phones too and start filming or do something. But don't complain when you see others filming and documenting and bringing it forward. And then you say, well, I get that same treatment. Yeah, you get to live and breathe and tell it. The other guy don't. So what's the factor that determines who goes home and who goes to the morgue? Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hey, good to hear you on the radio again, friend.
Yeah,
I give you credit, man. You're like the Rock of Gibraltar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You opened up with the happy birthday. Whose birthday it is today that you know?
Just a friend of mine.
Oh, well, good. Well, happy birthday to him, man. Long live.
Yeah, and I was going to play Dr. King, but we got this really old system, and if you say good morning to it and bring it some coffee, it'll work for you.
Otherwise, it's time for the cows.
Yeah, and I didn't want milk in my coffee, it'll tell you. I'm not playing.
Yeah. Well, you know, life is the most precious thing that we have been given. Yeah. And that's the way I look at life. No matter what you look like, where you came from, where you've been, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Life is more important than anything that we can hold on to, man.
Oh, yeah.
People, like you said, if they're killing people, you know, if a black man runs from a cop, you know, in his head, he thinks, well, maybe this cop is going to kill me anyway, even if I stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he may take me away in the car and beat me to death for all the hell I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if the history, like you're saying, that's inbred, you know, black people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They've had so much injustice against them that if I'm a white person and that happened to all my race, man, I'd be running from the cops a lot. You know what I mean? Because, wait a minute, cops, the authorities have killed a lot of black people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, justification. And you know, this one thing I heard yesterday, that, you know, in like Colorado, they had KKK as a governor, KKK as a mayor of Denver back in the late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And the KKK would run all around in the streets and clear out all the blacks. And that's why when I went to Colorado, man, I had a dark guy. We went across country. It was like, you know, dark Mexican guy, and man, we were stopped like every 50 miles, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were stopped every 50 miles. There's three white guys and only one guy that was a little bit, you know, dark. Oh, man, I go, what the hell? Then we finally figured out, hey, man, we got the wrong passengers. You know, we're looking at each other. You know, we're all, you know, segregated. You know, I'm raised up with black people. These other guys raised up. And these are minority people that are in a Volkswagen van, but going across the United States. You know, after we got out of high school, we did a little crisscross the country. But, you know, the bottom line is justice has to be served, man. And these police officers, the more I see them shooting people, I go, really, are we screening these people properly? That we give a gun to them that they can kill? And get away with it? It's kind of scary, man.
Oh, yeah. It's something, and I've learned in my old ways, is that if you don't speak up for yourself, don't expect society and the majority of them to speak up, because they could be just as normal human beings, fearful. They could be apathetic. They could be committed to, I don't want to do that because it would hurt my job. It would do this. Yeah. But when you hear this chorus being sung that we are a free country, we love the red, white, and blue, and the 50 stars, too. I understand that, but see, when you then do nothing, and you see one story after the other.
Try to apply it to every situation. It doesn't work.
Right. And I mean, you know, let the punishment fit the crime.
Yeah, definitely.
Or let the officer's reaction fit the circumstance. But, you know, what's wrong with, you know, you pull someone over, and I know there's some genius out there going to say, well, he got a taillight that's out. He could cause an accident and kill a family.
Yeah, right. Well, and you know what was a really pitiful situation? That lady in Texas that pulled over for a wrong turn and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She went to jail and hung herself, supposedly with a trash bag.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a situation where that police officer was unqualified, totally, completely. He should be fired from the force. He should be, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they put him out there and they tar and feather him. You know, to bring somebody in the jail. You know, they must have known a little bit. Well, this girl maybe is a little bit hot-headed. I better, you know, we'll let her go home and take, you know, let her go do her thing. You know, that's the kind of attitude that the police should have. They should be able to judge people by what they are, not how they want to interpret the law.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the guy said, get out of that car. You know, he was just like, you know, a monster to the lady. You know,
right.
In reality. And he had a gun.
Well, you know,
if he could have got away, he probably would have shot her right there.
Yeah, you know, a policeman has to have control of the circumstance anyway, because the reality is every situation can turn deadly, either for the policeman or the passengers or the driver of a car or whoever the person is being. That's a reality. So the policeman should always be in command, but don't be so belittling and talking to them like, you know, that person that's driving that car has a license maybe or whatever he or she is doing, she's still a human being. And so you might want to check that, right? What's wrong with just, you still got the power and authority.
Yeah, just write the ticket and move on to the next criminal, not a, you know, some lady that made an illegal little hand thing or didn't make it, really. That, you know, that hurt me so bad. I go, man, a woman is just driving around, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Made a little mistake and that kid thinks, you know, she's hanging herself in jail.
And,
you know what I mean? You're part of the problem, the police.
And the reality is that many of the police forces are serve the when communities are gentrified, and or there are certain communities just don't want people of color in there, or guys, or just low income people. It could be whites, and the police in many instances serve as a bulldog, you know, pit bull to chase those people out of there, get them out of here, right?
Yeah.
And so when you see the crime going on in Chicago and other areas, then maybe it also speaks to the fact that the priorities and the monies that are being spent in that community to police and enforce.
Yeah, they're focused right on that. That's all they do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they know they can bring up the numbers of arrests and convictions and everything by going after these people, because they just might have a traffic warrant, and, well, maybe they'll start, you know, resisting arrest, and we can get another arrest and something else on his record.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, you know, they think we're real. You know what I mean? You put yourself in a policing situation. You really got to have a straight head.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to think clear 99 9/10. The only time you don't think clear is when you're sleeping, okay? Otherwise, if you're wide awake, man, you got to make decisions that are right on the money. You're not worth it.
One of the things you can't do is be a bigot and carry a gun and a bag.
Oh, man.
Because if you do...
You're going to shoot somebody. You got an attitude adjustment that you're never going to happen.
And
once
then
you're a bigot... You're a bigot.
You want the world to look at you and say, well, he's a man of authority, and he has the law. He is the law. Well, that's where I draw the line and say, well, the chorus that sings, well, why are you black people complaining? All lives matter. Well, damn it, you're not doing anything when you're seeing it on TV. What more evidence do you need to join in chorus and say, this is
true.
Wrong?
Right. And that's just a new saying, man. There's a reason for that saying. You know what I mean? That just didn't pop out of the air in the last, you know, year or so.
Yeah.
And that's been around, but now it's being used like, wow, it really does matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's such a kind of a crazy remark, because the civil rights movement, even if Dr. King had no intentions of helping people other than black people, didn't want to help the Native Americans, didn't want to help the females or the whites that are being unfairly, unjustly treated. Let's just say, even if he intended to do that, and all other civil rights, they were just focusing on benefits for the blacks. The truth of the matter is, all American citizens benefit from the struggle, the fight, changing of...
Everybody up to a level playing field. Everybody wins.
The handicapped, the less fortunate, the blind, the visually impaired, the hearing, all of that under Title VI and under the Civil Rights Act, and all of that. You follow? Building a building, now you must accommodate the... So
the plumbers and the masons,
right, it's
the concrete guys, everybody counts in building the society.
So it's almost like it's one of the greatest insults when I hear that and say, well, okay, we're dealing with people now that are just completely committed or should be committed, when you know that we all benefit from the struggle of civil rights. We all, I don't care if you got $1 billion in the bank, you still, if you go somewhere, you ain't got, you're just walking around, you still have your rights, the Constitution affords you that, but it's just that when you know the struggle, people have been out there fighting, and then the only remark is, well, black lives are not the only ones that matter. What?
Yeah.
How do you even bring your lips to form,
say
a thing, right?
Yeah. A lot of 90% of the blacks who came here were slaves from Africa.
Yeah.
Understand, people, they were stolen. They were stolen off their homeland and put in chains. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And now we gotta look at them like, oh, well, we don't care about this. You know, you gotta heal. Hey, man, it's pretty hard to heal when it was, and it's continuing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
still happening. Just like back there in South Carolina, they had the Klan back there for the flag thing. They were all running around, you know, in Kentucky, and guys, man, it's still alive and well. You know what I mean? The society has a lot of homework and a lot of hard, you know, thinking to do before they start running with their mouth. Oh, the black people got enough this or that. No. The dues haven't been paid yet, bro.
They have
been paid.
And
that's the way I look at it. And as long as the black man stands up and the other people behind him, like me, We're going to win. It's going to be victory in the end. It may take a little more, whatever time it is, but it's going to happen, man.
Oh, yeah.
Interracial marriages now among basically all the races in America. It's, you know, eventually, you know, it's going to be more homogenized. And I'm not saying in my lifetime, you know what I mean? I'm 70, you know what I mean? So It may be taking a little longer than that because nothing happens overnight.
Right. I hear some people say, well, the yellow man and the brown man and the whatever and the white man should life matter too. And I think to myself, it's a hurtful feeling because what were they when I was in Mississippi going to school and standing in the ice cold watching white kids go by on a bus and see the Chinese on that same bus with the white kids and see the Japanese.
Yeah, they're walking the freaking snow or the rain.
Right. And they were, except even though they were hated like we were, they were allowed, the Chinese and the Japanese were allowed to go to school with the whites. And we weren't. And so when I hear people say, well, brown skin matter and yellow skin matter and red skin matter, you're down right it does. But let me just be here to pull your coattail and say, apparently, it only matters when you're on a radio show or you're talking. But in reality...
When they're all alone in the room by themselves, it don't matter anymore.
They hated you too, but on the other hand, you could come and go to school. And you could also move and live in our community, but the black person couldn't.
Yeah,
so
I'm
you understand.
I'm not in the bus and you're walking.
Right.
Yeah. that's the equation on that one. Oh, it's okay. I'm on the bus. I don't give a room.
So
it was the Chinaman, really.
Right.
He didn't care either.
Yeah, so people must know that know your history, or at least listen to someone else. We're not begging for sympathy. We're begging to be able to breathe.
The people would deny his hair if they could. You know what I mean? The people that disagree with him.
Yeah.
Somebody get rid of us. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, they're killing one another. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. White on white crime is bigger than black on black crime, I think, even in proportion.
Well,
you know what
I mean? Go look at the prisons. I mean, I can tell you 10 people in this city should go to jail tomorrow morning. Let's start with the mayor. All of them, the corruptors.
90% are breaking the law, as far as I'm concerned, in some way, shape, or form. I believe that, really, because I've dealt with them. They always got these backroom deals. They always got this favoritism going on. They always got an agenda. They're not what they're supposed to be. That's before every single person, even if they don't vote, they're still supposed to be for that man or that woman or that child that's in our city, in our state, or wherever it may be. That is their job.
Yeah.
Not to segregate people. We don't care about this. We care about women about this. And we don't give a hoot about these. You know what I mean? But
right.
We got priorities. And it's so mixed up that they're kind of, in reality, they're kind of sick, maybe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Their heads aren't tied all way. And they think, I'm saying, well, I got a 101 IQ or something. I'm not stupid. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, real smart to be tricky.
Right. Well, you know, just bringing it back here to the center of the table and say, let's, when you look at all lives matter, and they do, well, there are many people, hundreds of thousands exposed to dangers now. We right now that subject about the oil in the ground over that Red Hill, right?
That's been going on for weeks.
Right, but why is it? You know, so they look at the African American when they see the news flashing. Is it Black Lives Matter and the guy Lieberman is being pushed off the stage or whatever, and he can't speak. But let me tell you something: one of the greatest injustices that are being inflicted on anybody is right here in this state of Hawaii. Just as an example. Red Hill. They know that there's contaminations in the water. They know that it's going to get worse if they don't fix it. They know that. What did they say? And then you had an army of people, Gary Gill, Steve Chang, and nobody is really asking them, and we're going to talk about that later on. No one is really saying, where is your craziness coming from? You are a regulatory. You are an enforcer. You're not a reinforcer of these practices by the Navy and the military. You put people first. That is your purpose, the environment and people. And
who's going to run away?
And,
this is what they said on the video. Let me interject here for a second. They said they were going to give them 5 years to figure it out and then 20 years to fix it. Now, if that is what you call insanity, and you got a problem that's, killing the people, you know, wait a minute, whoever said that ought to be arrested on the scene.
And Steve Chang said, if we push them too hard, they'll leave. Well,
man,
see,
bless my soul. Get out of here right now.
Let me tell you something. When a regulator is saying that the head regulatory agency and a high-ranking official is saying that, then number one, they don't know the law. Number two, the critical action, the monies that are available, and then you can demand and you can file a lawsuit. That's why we have an attorney general. That's why we have a U.S. attorney.
Yeah.
That's why we have EPA. But they gravitate to the lowest form of existence and come out and utter these things. Well, you know, if we push them, they might just walk away. No, they won't.
Yeah.
They can't. Cause
Yeah, they can't walk away. They're not supposed to. Back in the 80s, I had a good friend of mine, Victor Lurano, his name was. He sandblasted inside them giant tanks, bro. He sandblasted them back in the 80s. They drained them out and they sandblasted, and I guess they did some real work. But he said there was leaked holes all over the place in these things that they sandblasted before they put a new coat on the interior of them big tanks under the ground. He says, man, it was like going in a dungeon. You go down, down, down. And it's just all day in this big, huge, you know, built like a building inside of them tanks. And he was just, you know, it was like slave labor. You know, he says, well, I had to make the money. I go, man, did you have good respirators and stuff? No, not really. You know, I was breathing a lot of that dust. You know?
Well,
that thing has been going on for eons.
Yeah, well, remember they had everybody's crying, and they really need to ask the real questions, and we're going to ask them today on the show. But, you know, there's some things that they haven't asked, they haven't done, but we've already covered the bulk of this in a couple shows where I lay out all the contaminants.
It's an ongoing problem for eons already.
Yeah. And to hear them get out there and say that, well, you know, we're going to work with them, I just think that they're not putting. I don't believe they think.
Delay tactic. That's all it is.
I don't think they. You know.
Deny and delay. Let the people pay the price for their incompetence.
Right. Well, anyway, give a call back.
You have a good day. Keep yourself out of trouble.
All righty, I'll keep my head down.
All right, okay. Good. All right, bye.
Aloha. Yeah, 524-1080 is the number. You can feel free and call in and put me in my place and tell me what matters and what don't matter. I'm all up for it today. But, you know, this is the Carol Cox Show, and we are having a little fun here. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am well, thank you. But you talked about names and what our name is. My maiden name was Hood. Now, and that it came from a long line of Hoods. The originator of our line was John Bell Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you out there that don't seem to know what that is, he was a Confederate general of which Fort Hood is named after.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Ancestry.com, you will see that he sired my great-grandfather, and therefore that name Hood down to me, and, of course, the men in the family that still carry that name, Hood, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
John Bell Hood.
Well, I want to make sure that everybody listening out there, I'm not begging for sympathy. Let me just finish. I'm not begging for sympathy, and I don't think you are. I'm just sharing you from my perspective. Whether your listeners like it or don't like it, I would really don't care, because it's enough to have the air filled with people with supposition and all of these things. And we are as sensitive and as fragile and as caring as anything you've ever seen. We're as delicate, black people and brown people. And people are, all human beings are, have a sense, unless there's a problem in their makeup. But in a whole, we all care for one another. That's the human energy. That's what moves us as a people. Somehow we've gotten strayed off from that. We're, you know, black and white, Baptist, Catholic, and, you know, Protestant, and all those things, and throw it in the bunch. And but in reality, we're human beings. And so I just toss these things out there and say, hey, by the way, you know, if you think that you're really on target, maybe you want to check yourself, because no matter what you say, here's the reality.
Well, the reality is, when you talk about caring, I have known lots of people in my life, and that includes you, but I don't know anyone that cares as much as you do about the mankind, the environment, what is going on, that you, who do not get paid for this, really go out, put yourself out to do the investigation, to do the research, to tell us, to keep us informed on the news, on the radio, on the television. I don't know anybody that cares that much, regardless of that put yourself out to do that. And so for that, I am eternally grateful to you.
And we all can do that. Everybody out there have an instance in their life where they've reached over the fence and cared about someone, whether not just on a racial basis, or, but every human being has good in them, every one of us. It's just that we get caught up in this chorus of nonsense, and it's like, wait, we can do better. And that's why I tell people, you hear what comes out of my mouth is from my perspective, my experience. If you don't like it, sorry, tune into another person, not just radio, just don't deal with me, because I got baggage, and my baggage is that from my travels, that's what my baggage is my travels that I've gone through life, and so therefore I have to speak. I can't be traveling in life and as an adult on mute. I can't, because it might offend someone if I speak out and told you from my perspective or my view, or me walking in my moccasins and where I've stepped and been. You understand?
I do.
And so it's an insane approach to things and an insensitive one when we try to downplay it and say, well, you know. I don't know why they're made. White lives matter too. And you're so right. And that's the whole argument. Bring us all into the same fold and sing the same song, and that we care about everybody. And nobody should witness on the evening news anything, on Facebook, any craziness like this, right?
Well, did you see in today's paper the Micronesians have signs that say Micronesian lives matter?
Yeah.
Beautiful picture. Beautiful.
Yeah, and the person that goes and take issue with that should be asking themselves, well, where have I been? How could my brother or my sister or fellow human being have to live at a point while I'm living and I'm educated? Where have I been? What have I done to make sure that I don't sit there and let my neighbor treat my friends who are gay, or let my neighbor who treats my friends that are black in an improper or illegal way, a disrespectful way? Who are we? You know, we're not social police. But then if you don't speak out when you see it, then don't speak out when others, the victims, are saying enough already, you know, because it clouds the issue.
Also in today's paper, the most insensitive thing that you can imagine, I don't know who lays out the newspaper, I don't have a clue, but it's the most insensitive thing I have ever seen. On one side of the page, full page, of a homeless family, beautiful little kids, mother, father, family intact, homeless. On the other side of the page, there is a huge, big ad for an apartment, a condominium, for $1.65 million. Now, how insensitive? I mean, how insensitive can you be?
How insensitive?
Yeah. That is just unbelievable.
Well, you could become the mayor or the city council or the governor, and you can see that's how insensitive, how much more insensitive, and do nothing and come up and offer bills and call yourself Councilwoman Kimberly Pine or Ann Kobayashi and Ron Minor and all those people that sit around there and say, we can fix your problems if you vote for us. Kadani, Michelle Kadani, we can fix your problem, but I don't have time for to deal with the GMO stuff because they give me money and I'm so left and right to them. So you got that part of it, and the truth be told, they would be nothing if it were not their roles in government. They've not exhibited any traits or any ability or capacity that I witnessed that would say that they have the capacity of doing anything good. They may tell you that they are, but I'm learning that if you don't show me a sensitive bone in your actions or in your walk or your stride, then something's wrong. You're rigid and you're driven by money and politics and insensitivity. That's the way I see it.
Well, you're absolutely right, but I was just, like I said, just looking at that. You don't even have to read the article. All you have to do is look at the paper and see that that page.
Yeah.
Well, beautiful, beautiful family living on the street and on the same page, a $1 million condominium in Kaka'ako, of all places.
Well, that's the way it is. Call a good morning. Go ahead with your comments. Thanks for waiting.
How are you, sir? I've been listening real carefully, and
you there? Hello. Like I say, we got some old school equipment here, and we're gradually repairing, and we'll be there. Try call back if you can hear or listen in this. But anyway, the gentleman that.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. You must have Verizon.
Okay. Mr. Cox, I listened very, very carefully, and you wouldn't believe how I was able to interpret this conversation today.
Okay.
You know,
I'll be the translator if you need. You don't have to interpret it. I can translate for you.
I come to understand that when they captured the first slaves and said, we're going to take these slaves over to America or the Caribbean, wherever they go, you end up in America, right? So when you come from a slave system, that is a foreign relations issue. I realize that now, because Cuba, all of the American dealings with foreign nations, which we were a foreign nation at the time, all right? That's why we're not called American. They always got to put the word black or something in front of it. It's representation that we are a foreign relations issue. Now, in foreign relation issues, there's something called reparations. Cuba, the first thing they said is they want their reparations. But as soon as it comes to us, it gets... You see, the problem is... is reparations to me. And until that's dealt with, there will be no respect. When they say black lives don't matter, what they mean is that you don't deserve no money for your suffering, your pain and suffering. And when you go to court and you sue, it ain't just the pain, it's the suffering too. It's the punitive, it's damages, and there's punitive damage. There's two sets of damages there. But we are a foreign relations problem, which means we are an international problem, and it should be addressed from a foreign relations perspective that goes back hundreds of years, compound interest, and everything else.
But who initiates that action, that legal action, on behalf of the...
Well, you see what, you know what, Malcolm X was about to...
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why he really got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm was going to the world, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose track of the fact that the first thing Cuba said is, where's our reparations?
Well,
that's only 50 years, Mr. Cox. That's only 50 years.
Yeah. Well, I would...
hundreds of years.
For me, this is the way I see it. You can keep the 40 acres and two mules. I'll give you... You don't have to bother that. But give me an unobstructed path, absent of free and of taint from racist bigotry, hatred based on my race, based on my ethnicity. I let you keep the 40 acres. You can have them. I that deal is over with, and you can keep the mules. But quit treating me like I'm a jackass.
Well, see, the thing is, Mr. Cox, if I owe you money
mm-hmm.
and I don't pay you, then I'm going to have to try to do something to make you forget about it. And usually I have to objectify you
mm-hmm.
and abuse you in order to live with myself. I may even have to genocide you.
Yeah.
So the real issue, from what I see it, is that reparations has to be part of the medicinal plan. The amendments can't just be in words. The making amends, it had to... What the Cuban say? Where's my reparations? Everybody is reparations, but for some reason, we think, for some strange reason, we don't have to go through the process of reparations. Your respect comes from that.
Right.
And we're talking about not 50 years.
Yeah. Well, we go back to the... Cuba is... politically, I mean, there's bigger issues there, and why are a lot of the African people of ethnicity is in Cuba, right? And Jamaica mm-hmm. and Bermuda, and we all know why, right?
Yes, we do.
And that is, if many of you out there don't know, that Jamaica is a different place, because when we abolished, you couldn't buy a slave directly from the African coast. So they came up with the deal. You can drop them off in Jamaica and stay there for 2 years, then you can import them into Eastland, Maryland and all. So this whole practice about, and you know, and then they teach us, well, you're different. See, you're an American and you're Jamaican and you're, but the reality is you were plucked from the sand beaches or wherever and brought here for the purpose of work.
And Mr. Cox, can we agree on something right now? That this is a foreign relations issue. Maybe back in that time they didn't call it foreign relations.
Right. Well,
and when something is foreign relations, it's serious business, Mr. Cox. This is international. This isn't local.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't. You don't deal with this in the courts, in the conventional courts.
And I'm coming down to the last few seconds.
Okay, go ahead. I'll take it off the air.
I'll call back, and then we're going to be back in the second half.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank all of you guys for joining in, and feel free, 524-1080. We'll be back. This is a Carol Cox Show. You can pick it up on carolcox.com or kwai1080am.com. We'll be back, and we'll talk about a few things and whatever you want to talk about. 524-1080.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI.
A sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone, yeah. My baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. I don't know why she left me. I don't know where she's gone. But all I know is I'll never be happy until my baby comes back home. Yeah, because I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. Oh, I don't know why she left me, but this one thing I know that if my baby tells me that she'll come back home, I'll never, never do it no more, yeah, because I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone, yeah. My baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood tonight. She got me in a sad mood.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, second half. You can listen to us, KWAI 1080 AM live stream, or go to carolcox.com. And by the way, on this Red Hill thing, and we'll talk about it in a bit, I had alluded to the fact that what is happening, many of people reported the cancers that they have. And I met a gentleman yesterday who was an engineer, and he shared some frightening thoughts that he had, and he was born here, actually. And he graduated from Stanford, if one of the, you know, some people would say one of the smart guys. Well, but he was willing to talk, and he shared with me. He said he would never ever drink water out of the area in Mauna Loa. He would never, because he talked about all of the drainage and the drainage system and how it collects down, and remember, they say that the water is not contaminated, but they don't really know because they're reluctant. And I shared with you on one show for 2 hours a while back in 2014, disclosing all of the contaminants, and you can get that at carolcox.com. Just click on Red Hill, and we laid it out from what we thought, but records that were provided by the state. Records that the state withheld until we did a FOIA, or Freedom of Information, or Uniform Information Act request. And in there, it talks about all the specifics. We talked about fluorine or whatever they put in the water on military bases. So the information is there. The problem is, it's how the system view you and me. But I want to share a little story with you. When you talk about talking about Black Lives Matter and back and forth, but I want to play out to you, give you some insight about the assault and the attack on myself personally. Now, what I was doing was doing what the government should have been doing, and prosecuting people and investigating and doing all of that. But instead, it was the government agency, the Hawaii Homelands, and Attorney General, where I had actual information. But we'll get past that and tell you when you're out helping people, and then you hear, well, that you act like other lives don't matter. I was assaulted, and that attack, and when I came, got my senses back, I talked to one guy later, and he said, well, you know, man, I got a call, and they were laughing, said they had that, quote, that nigger had killed them down there. Now, I conveyed that to the HPD, and
the FBI, and they then bombed my house and my cars with the intent of burning my house down. Now, I don't know where that investigation is, but I find them to be quite aggressive when civil rights violation, if there's some black guys with the where they say they're trading women or pimps. But you don't see the reaction. And so up and down the spectrum, it's not just pulling you over in the car and for a minor violation, maybe no violation, just profiling you. And you get that. And then you get this lethargic approach. And one funny thing about that, when I was there at the scene, as I'm gathering my thoughts and collecting my head and my hair and all of that, I'm there by, there's a police officer, sergeant, and he's standing there. I need to get a statement from you. And the only thing that I could tell him was, look, man, I just got the you-know-what beat out of me. And you're asking for, I don't even know my last name, and you're asking me for a report? And just show you how the mindset is. It depends. Now, this does not speak for the whole agency of HPD, but it speaks of the HPD. It's a portion of it. And so I'm standing there going, look, I will give you a statement. Just let me remember my last name, if you would. Just, you know, let me just figure out what portion of the planet am I on, or I was of earlier about 10 minutes ago. You know, I just got my ass kicked. You understand? Well, I need the report. And then, and as if I couldn't give it to him, he showed little or no interest. And, well, we're going to be leaving. And I'm standing there with no keys, because the assailants took my keys. And so I'm standing there, and I get in my car, and they're gone. I'm left out in the middle of nowhere. But I guess black lives don't matter, you see. But we can play that many ways. But this is, it's not just being pulled over. It's this mindset. And assault is an assault. Act of terrorism is an act of terrorism. Attempted murder is attempted murder, whether it's Shelley Temple or whoever, or the Pope, or just some black guy who cares about the environment. It doesn't matter. It should be equally, the law should be aggressively applied and investigated. But we'll see what's going to come out of this. But I want you to know that it's not about all about shooting. And these instances repeat themselves, too, throughout the nation when it comes to black people. When we call, we might get aggressive. Where are they? We will find the criminals. We get, well, you must have done something wrong, or you, nobody like you anyway, or, you know, this kind of stuff. Or you're the pain in the ass to the system, so why should we investigate you? And then the attorney general says, now I'm working and giving them information, and the documents as they had asked. In fact, I was ill one day, and four of them got together and wanted information. And yet, when I called to repeat and report what happened, well, there's nothing we can do. This is the attorney general. And I understand that. Why would David Louis, the attorney general, do anything to help me? Not just because I was black, when I've reported him giving money and willing to take money from DHHL and divert it with, as we played on the show here. I understand that. So I just want to share that with you. It is not all about being pulled over and shot. It's also about, well, you know who you are, what you are. We have no incentive or motive to pursue this effort because of who and what you are. And that's the way the game's played here. So we understand that, but it doesn't cause me to waver. My personality, my character, justice is justice. You die for it. It's better than good water on a hot day. You can't beat it. So you struggle, and it's a sacrifice for those of you out there that wonder why I do it. And so when you hear that others are being criticized for speaking up, you're basically repeating what I know about the system itself. So good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good
Okay, Mr. Cox. This cry of Black Lives Don't Matter is a very, very ancient cry. And they think because they're hearing it now, they've been doing this for hundreds of years. From when they first started this, when they were first in Africa catching slaves, they were already determined Black Lives Don't Matter. This is an ancient thing, and when I hear people talk about it like it's just today, I say, I wish they would just say it like it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long historical problem, hundreds of years in the making, and I can hear the voice of the ancestors when the person says Black Lives Don't Matter today. I can hear the voice from long ago.
Mm-hmm.
We are a foreign nation occupied in America. And an example I want to give is Joseph. When Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and I don't know if this story is real or not, but for metaphor, he became second in command to Pharaoh, but he never became Egypt. You see, we could be here and be occupied, and there can be rich, and there could be stars, but we're all still a foreign nation here. And when I witness Micronesia, all the different ethnic groups and how they act towards one another. Oh, one other thing. The slaver said if you got one drop of black blood in you, you was black. Now when I see all these brown people that look like me, the same skin tone, but the hair is different, I automatically connect to them. Automatically. But they teach me what it means to be a nation, a real nation. And one other thing I have to say about Ben Netanyahu over there. When I heard him say, he didn't say Black Lives Don't Matter, but he was saying, he said, America, you're trying to secure your nation. We're trying to preserve. Something like they don't have the right to live, and when I heard him said that, I knew that was us too. See, that same stuff is going on in Israel. Is a parallel with us, but it's not direct and military like that.
Right. Well,
it's in a different form. But
I apologize, but I'm talking. See, I like to stay on the city streets here.
It's connected.
I understand.
I
agree with you if that's how you characterize it. But
okay.
I'm the kind of person, I like to take care of the crap that I'm standing in. I don't like to go abroad because that's like you'll never address anything. Stare down those that are engaged with those that are in your immediate reach. See, then you will accomplish something.
If they hide your solution overseas, Mr. Cox.
Right.
And if they hide this solution to the problem out of your country, and you keep looking in your country for the solution, you never find it.
Well, no, I mean, I don't understand that one, but I'll
okay.
accept it. If you find, look, a man being choked on TV to death and saying I can't breathe, that's enough to appoint a rallying point there to start conversation. I don't have to go off to Israel and Pakistan.
Doing this for hundreds of years.
I understand, and it's time to quit it. I mean, it's time to stop. That's the whole purpose. But I'm just not a fan of running abroad and deals. Stand up here and fight. Call names here and get your ass kicked and deal with the issues right here. I mean, I'm not saying don't be global. But it just seems that the common practice is that it's okay to talk about the subject if we attack and bring in Israel and all those. But stand right here and call names. Stand up here and tell that the chief of police is awkward. That.
Okay, let me
I mean, tell me about the local politician.
Wait.
You have pressure. You have the ability to have influence and impact on local politicians. So why on earth would you repeatedly go abroad with these issues? Stand up tall here. Speak out here. Pound the desk here. And tell them. Call them names by their first names or whatever. Why do we have to go abroad and then we basically,
okay.
we smother and suffocate the issue that is at hand? I don't... caught into that kind of approach. Deal with what right here in the immediate. Not to say don't be global and be worried about what happens to others, but it deflates the whole subject, in my opinion. When we repeatedly run abroad and inject these, you know, like, not being critical of you, but hey, we got enough names here, we got enough districts, city limits, and whatever, you can stay right here, and if you fix this, then you'll be more.
What if you can't fix it this way?
Well, how are you going to fix it?
What if it's set up so you can't fix it this way?
Well, how are you going to fix it in Israel? How are you going to...
No, I didn't say in Israel.
I'm asking, though.
I was using him as a parable to describe us.
I understand, and you're asking me. I'm just conveying to you how I believe. Stand up and stare him in the eye here. Call him names. Hold him accountable or her accountable. Remind them of the Constitution. Stay within the confines of this country. Fix it first, then you probably have people falling in line. But we have so many contradictions.
We have to agree on definition. We have to come to an understanding of who and what we are in some way. We are a foreign nation here. This is a foreign relations problem. It should be addressed from that approach.
Well,
every other approach so far, look where it leads.
Yeah, well, see, here's one of the things, you know, and kind of put a little humor in it, but I mean what I'm saying here. I don't care to go back to Africa. I never was there. I'm an African American. I'm proud of my mother and my ancestry. I'm proud of that. But I have no reason to go anywhere. And then I'm reminded of all the chaos and the maiming and the killing and all of that there. So why don't I just stay here, fix it, and then maybe one day my voice will be heard and our actions will be seen and observed abroad. And that way we have an example here where we work together here to fix this problem. Then we can sell it. Leave the Bible at home and take our hearts and take the true honesty in how we respect people, right?
We still have to agree on a definition.
Well,
if we don't, we're going to have chaos.
Well, I don't think we would ever agree on a definition because
we
don't
have to come to an agreement.
I agree that
I'm not talking about me and you. I'm just saying in order to get something done, there must be a agreement on definition so it can guide the goal.
Yeah, but I just
that's the first step.
Right. I just believe the best way to approach life is keep it simple. And you've heard that KISS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a firm believer in that. I just believe that it's in my mind, when immediate surroundings are all chaotic and chaos and injustices, and then you hop on a plane and go abroad to fight for justice somewhere else. I for me, that's a cowardly act.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, no, I know I'm not. We're not. Every time I speak, I'm not. I don't want to have to it be interpreted as I'm speaking directly to you. I mean, our minds are bigger than that, I hope. Let me get this another caller. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comments.
Hi, Carol. You know, I love your discussion.
Mm-hmm. You there? Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Jay, my God. Anyway, this discussion kind of reminds me of Tom Brower, Sledgehammer Tom Brower, and how if I was to go and smash up shopping carts, I would be prosecuted. But he does, the police just gave it to the Attorney General, but Attorney General just kind of like put it on the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, the thing, same with you, right? I mean, the Attorney General took it and he was just kind of putting it on his file and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
But we won't get back to you, you know?
But right, if you break the police chief's mailbox down, there's a investigation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, priorities, brother.
Yeah.
Mailbox, just remember this, mailboxes matter.
mailbox is the shopping cart. It's basically it belongs, a homeless person is using it.
Right.
Too bad, you know. Well. I just had to bring out that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, that is all I have to say.
All righty. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Right. Take care.
Paula, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, wow. What a discussion.
Okay.
I was listening, of course, about the gentleman who says we have to agree on definitions. No, we don't. We're not going to agree on a definition. And I agree that we need to take care of this little acre of land right here, because that's where it starts. And until we clean up the mess right here, we begin with the city council and the fact that 9 people can have such control over 1 million people is obscene. And we start right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and like you said about the police department and the, all of these things that don't seem like monumental, but if you are the one person caught in that vice, it is monumental, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we deal with the 9 people at the city council, which can make a whole group of people criminals for sleeping on the sidewalk when they don't provide a place for these people to live, is criminal.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are criminals, not the poor people sleeping on the sidewalk.
Well, we got so many things that contribute to this dysfunctionality. But here's an example. I'm following trying to investigate something now that. There's this gay young man who's gay, and he rented from a family, and this family, he brought his partner over to the house, and he's paying rent. But apparently, the renters, the owners of the property, the landlord, was offended because he had his partner over, and they then began to tell him that this is our religion, don't allow that, don't tolerate that. So they evicted him, took his things and threw them out on the dirt, and you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how wrong is that? Well, the person that did it, that committed this act, if all things are true, shame on them. But the reality is that we have a system here that supposedly is going to protect the rights and the interests of all citizens, right? The Civil Rights Commission, the Civil Rights Office there, right? The Attorney General. Why then, in the Office of Rent or whatever, your housing, why can't that person be free of this experience? If these agencies were to be doing what was their job.
I was told by an attorney that no matter what the evidence, no one ever wins a civil rights case in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't practiced law anywhere except Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it just doesn't happen.
Well,
that they don't protect.
Well, in the beginning,
it's a black and white thing.
Yeah, well,
it's like you're saying, you know.
Yeah, in the beginning, you know, civil rights and courts were okay, but then they got this practice of, well, you know, we gotta start beating back. So you had judges who decided we'll put a cap on what will be allowed, and then immediately there this frenzy that you would normally see of pro bono lawyers and what have you, a lot of that was died down because there was no incentive for monetarily to go and represent someone. So judges were controlling, and then it was stated, well, they're only going to allow so much damage even if you win. So it wasn't an incentive unless you could pay the lawyer yourself. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the undermining of this whole effort. So it suggests 2 things, that yes, we had problems, and yes, we had, but then the system began to control itself, and throughout outside influences, businesses start to complain, putting the right judges in place, And so then now you have anything of similar to a civil rights case, it's either class action, maybe on occasion they have one or two, but most of them are just washed out in the process. And if you miss one date as a complainant, you're screwed. If the agency or the company miss a couple days, they could string it out forever. And the agency, the Civil Rights Commission, allows and tolerates that. So, and even some of the courts will allow the game to be played. So it's that kind of thing that encourages people to violate the rights of others, and because they know to challenge them or to bring it to court, you better have a lot of money, or you better have a sympathetic lawyer, or you just get lucky, carry a rabbit's foot in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, people say, well, let's not talk about the racial thing and what they're meaning and say. It's so complex, and there's so many tentacles to it that I can't begin to understand, and so what we end up doing is being emotional about it, and it turns into a yelling match, when the reality is, if we can tolerate that and put it off today, it'll pop up tomorrow, because these things, they're evil acts. They present themselves.
Yeah, now, what you were talking about, this evicting this man, the most contentious part of the 1964 Civil Rights Act was public accommodations, and it is still. So there is a law that absolutely says you cannot do what this guy just did, put him out. Once he accepts him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but when you bring it up and say it's part of the Civil Rights Act, people just gloss over it because they think it's all about black and white when it's really about everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, in this situation with the young man, imagine the parties that are renting to this young man, this is an illegal rental.
Mm-hmm.
So the person still feels that, well, one, I can rent to him and I don't have to worry about being prosecuted or punished or penalized. And then I can violate their rights because my religion say that I don't believe it does not tolerate gay relationships. You understand? So you take all of that in a system. That's why I say the system is corrupt. I don't mean to be foul-mouthed about the individuals, but there are no checks and balances, and those that were in place are gone. They're missing. They've been removed. And that's the corruption, when you methodically remove certain elements out of the system that would afford someone some justice or at least access to it. When those things are degraded,
those same people at the top, the minions that are moved around from agency to agency, and they get to control things, and you don't even know where it's coming from.
But they got to have a mindset. They got to be bored.
That's what I'm saying. Those same people.
No, I don't think I think we're talking two different points here. They start off with no ethics, no values, no morals. They start off with no. They've been desensitized. You see, they don't understand the humanitarian approach that when you're doing government, you can't be committed to the party. You've got to be committed to the good of the people. And there's no perfect system. So these people are completely, any emotional thing is removed from them. You can't care about anybody because obviously if you look, you couldn't generate this many sit lie bills and moving planters down on the street. You realize how much time the city attorneys and all in the state attorney general's office have spent and the mayor's office have spent on just mobilizing the homeless?
Mm-hmm. They could have put them, and one article said $750,000 a year. For that, they could have paid rent for some of these people.
Well, yeah, but, yeah. So, you know, there's everything with the stripping the homeless of their goods and their values and saying, well, you can take a bus to Halava and come up there and pick it up and knowing that, you know, well, you can go down and apply for a house or rental or some benefits, public benefits, but you need a driver's license, and they've seized your driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that all lives matter, and any one of us today, any one of us can be in that predicament. I don't care if you got $1 billion. You could fall on hard times, or you could become mentally incapacitated or physically incapacitated, and somebody rip you off, and your family confine you to some crazy place, and you decide to, I'm not going to live there, and you find your way on the streets, and you're out there.
Well, I read one article where this family had a house, everything, job, house, everything, and the house burned down, and they didn't have the insurance to rebuild the house, and they were left homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of stories where people have intact families, jobs, and then some disaster happens, and now they're on the street. They're not all mentally ill people. They're not all drug addicts. They are real people.
Mm-hmm.
Real people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just unbelievable how callous our system has become.
Well, it's a capitalistic society, and you either got it or you don't got it. That's the way it is. And the people managing, you know, campaign donations and the companies. That's why, you know, I find Donald Trump to be quite obnoxious, but I like some of the things that he's disclosing. He stands there and say, I give you money because I want something from you.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he's outing what we all suspect and knew, but, you know, I wouldn't vote for the clown. But again, I appreciate his willingness and his candidness to come out and say that, you know. Well, Hillary, you know, yeah, I donated to her. That's why she was at my wedding. I wanted her to come to my wedding, you know, this kind of stuff. And so I think we all owe him a great thank you for telling us what we already suspected. But
yes, and I think that's why his numbers are there, because everybody is appreciating the truth.
Yeah, but I got my worry beads, man. I'm in there praying, and I'm that he decided that he was just joshing and want to go away.
Yeah, but in the New Yorker, which, of course, is an elitist magazine, they said something about Bernie Sanders having the audacity to tell the truth. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's another one, telling the truth.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the numbers, of course, because he's not the circus that Trump is.
Right.
But he's another one, telling the truth.
Yeah. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
I just had a question what the lady said as a realtor, where the family, where the house burned out, and they didn't have any insurance, so they lost everything. If they owned a house, they had a mortgage, they must have insurance. And if they didn't have insurance, meant that they owned the house outright, so they had a valuable piece of property there. So how would you lose your home? I was just wondering about her statement.
Well, I can't answer for her. I'm glad she's
but
home.
But I read the article, and it just said they couldn't rebuild. That's all the article said.
Yeah.
So I don't know the people. I just read the article.
Oh, I thought it pertained to her.
No.
Oh, okay. But
yeah.
It did sound logical, because when you own your home, you must have insurance. And if you have a mortgage, if you don't have a mortgage, my parents owned their home. They did not have to have fire insurance. They just took a chance that mm-hmm. the house burned down. They'd have to go build a new house.
Well,
the
point was that circumstance, for me, it wouldn't matter anyway. The point, it drives home the point that even if you didn't have and you took your chances, there would be some portion of the population of homeless people out there because they took chances and didn't buy insurance. The point is, we just never know. What we're trying to illustrate is how and why you end up on the street, so.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Ed. But anyway, I'm going to introduce a little change of a subject here for a minute and talk about quickly the Red Hill. I've talked extensively about it, the Red Hill thing, and they need, this is the kinds of questions that need to be put on the table and demands from the public and others. We need a geologist, a geotech person, someone that knows the physical structure of the rocks and all of that, the type of rock and geology. We need one of those. Then we need a detection plan put in. No matter what you build, it might potentially leak again. So, and we need a detection plan. That needs to go in. Then we need an assessment plan. We don't even really know. No one has said, well, this is a damage right now. No assessment. And I spoke about this a while back thing. We need put money aside. Make the Navy pay money. And do that. Well, they don't do that. And then an action plan. Water treatment. There in Mililani, if you get off the freeway, there's several tanks that you'll see. That's water treatment where they're pumping air into the system to drive off the pars or petroleum products that are constituents that are associated with petroleum. And so these are the kinds of things geologists need to know. And I was told that there's a thing called the eggshell. And if you mix it, it would absorb all the contaminants in the fissures and follow the flow of the water, the gradient of the water, and that would resolve it somewhat. But again, I remind all of you that it was the state just recently and the EPA saying that they would, in fact, they've signed it. The Navy has already signed the agreement. But what were they agreeing to? And the problem with this whole Red Hill matter is that the state has no clue. The Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch Manager, the chief, knows clean air, but it has no full authority, real authority, understanding of it. His people that work for him, the underground storage tank people, one of his people were a secretary and became an underground storage tank inspector and what have you. So this whole process is it's overwhelmed the state system. And then when you get a guy like Gary Gill who has that swagger, and if you remember, look at some of those old videos and with the Navy and all, it was a love fest, you see. And so we need to say to the state and the governor that get this done, but these are the things. If you're really going to make something happen here, forget all of the talk and the editorials and all of that. Put these things in. Get a good geologist, a detection plan, assessment plan, and an action plan. Let us know what you're going to do. To heck with this 5 years and 20 years later, it's going to be, this is crazy. So this is just one angle. Now, there was a story on the TV, and this is real quick. You know, we've been talking about the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and you saw on KGMB probably, there was a story about Angus Mitchell, and he has some land in Diamond Head area, and he encroached on state property, and he paid a penalty. And Suzanne Case, her organization, Nature Conservancy, years back received an actual piece of land donated by Angus Mitchell. And the Nature Conservancy got that. This is while she worked for Nature Conservancy. But then she, in turn, here recently, granted him the authority to submit for a permit after the fact. So that was that kind of question of integrity or ethics. But there's one little thing that was not covered in that, and that is, and you might find this interesting, the company that is providing the consulting and preparing this thing is a company called Ho'okuleana LLC. And the owner of that company is none other than Peter T. Young. And Peter T. Young is the sole member of Ho'okuleana. And Peter Young was the former state land commissioner, DLNR commissioner, in the same position that K. case. Now, how is it that Case could have this relationship and then Peter Young is there? This is the way the politics works role in this town, folks. Now, it's not to say that Peter Young is doing anything wrong, but there was a long delay, and they were assessing and all, and but go ahead and just find him and penalize him and fix it. But things drag along if you are a special person in this town or have some special connection. But anything else is just you're in trouble. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I didn't want to get on air again, but this... This Red Hill Tank situation just amazes me. You have EPA, the Health Department, you have public hearings. What are we going to do about this leaky tank? You know, when I have a flat tire and the air leaks out, I get it patched. And the solution for this is take the fuel out, patch the tank, and put the fuel back in. One, two steps, one, two, three. If it's unrepairable, take the tank off the line. Why do you have to have all these discussion, public hearings, and the neighbors? Well, what are we going to do about that? It's the saga of the Red Hill tank.
Ed, I love you, man. You just, that was about my next comment. See, it's okay when two people think alike, no matter how sick they are, but apparently...
Yeah, now this goes on, and they talk about 20 years. Not it. What are they talking about?
Now, I was going to share with you that what they should do, and this is what an engineer and two engineers shared with me yesterday for a couple hours. They know, and one of them is an expert in petroleum, and... What was said was that they take the tanks, drain them, as you just said, and sand them down, polish them, buff them, and find those micropores or those holes, fill those up, patch those up properly, and then take a material and spray in. And then in turn, an epoxy inside that tank and make a tank inside, a liner inside. And that way you have your two liners and make sure that it's clean enough that it would adhere to the wall of the steel and you have an immediate, right?
Come on, Carol. We don't need a petroleum expert. We need a guy who can move out to patch a tank.
Yeah, I'm
an expert.
Yeah, but that's what is all that's, I'm told, and the epoxy will harden and it'll be perfect. And they do it all the time. I was told that British Petroleum and others do it quite often with their tanks.
They've been doing it for 50 years, or, you know, as long as we've had tanks, any kind of tank, water tank, fuel tank, sewage tank, if it leaks, you patch it. If you can't patch it, replace it.
Yeah.
We need all these hearings. We need the neighbors to come there to a public hearing. What are we going to do about it?
Right.
This is what's disconcerting with government. And so everybody wants to get in on the act.
Right.
For a simple, simple problem.
I characterize it when it first presented itself and said it's a cover-up, the state is covering up, the EPA is covering up, the EPA is sitting there going, well...
How are they covering up?
How they're covering up? By not being regulatory and demanding these actions. Don't... All these meetings, and if you don't take an action and you know there should be something done and what's available to you and do nothing, that's cover-up.
Yeah.
You have an obligation because it's a release, right?
The issue is... Right now is fix the tank.
Yes, exactly. But you
not study how to do it.
But understand, they wouldn't think back, Ed. They wouldn't really tell you if there was an actual leak. They said there was 27,000, then they came back and said it wasn't. There was a miscalculation. Then they say they found some smearing on smudges on the wall. And then they went back, and people said, well, don't you have alarms? Well, you know, you understand. And then now revelations come out that alarms were set off and let them know that they had. So it's that kind of the Navy should be seen and viewed as a violator, and the state and the EPA should be taking their action as enforcers, not reinforcing the lie, but enforcers of the law. And that's what is the problematic. They've not demanded anything. They have the records.
Well, you know, I made a comment on KHON for the molasses spill. I said, Mother Nature's going to take care of it. And sure enough, the water's there. The Hollow Harbor's clear. You know, Hollow Harbor is basically mud. There's no coral down there. When I was a kid, we used to fish there. We catch these little black polony fish by the drainage pipes. Unedible.
Yeah.
And I don't see any commercial fishing going on in Honolulu Harbor because it's too contaminated.
Yeah.
But yet they find the perpetrator because it destroyed all those fish. Who wants to eat that fish? If there's any. You don't see anybody fishing in Honolulu.
Well, you do. And coral, unless you understand the nature of coral, I just steer away from it. Coral will grow and regenerate itself. But the problem is, you're telling a portion of the story that is probably little to do with anything, because a lot of the money, the penalties that they find, is going to be used, allowed Matson to tear down and remove the tanks.
No,
no, not well. I mean, this is
the magic word.
Is that a punishment to have something that's broken, and then that pollutes, and then you get fined for it, and the part of the fine that you got is to the add up the cost of removing what you used to pollute?
Yeah, but the fines that the state gonna get, they said they're gonna use it to study growing coral.
Study?
Growing coral.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem. We buy into this nonsense, and they're willing to step up to the plate and just say anything, because nobody say to them, enough already. You wouldn't tolerate that from your kid. Well, son, I told you to do these things. Well, yeah, Dad, but you know, Jackie Robinson was on this evening on TV being interviewed, so I had to watch that, you know, right? But I'll get to it. This is the way the state and the EPA behaves. They are the ones protecting and insulating the Navy. They should say the immediate threat is up on us now. We're going to take action. We'll take our actions and charge you. And I don't know if the time-critical removal action that is allowed under, I don't know if that, the Navy has that ability at Radford High School. They went in there and spent, I guess, $700,000 overnight to address some of the problems and remove some of the soil because it was theirs.
Even Radford High School, has there been a study for all the students and teachers that have been exposed to that, the athletes especially who use the athletic field? Are they doing follow-up studies in years to see if there's any effects of the toxins that were in that soil?
Well, you know, I said the cover-up, and you asked how they're covering up. You see, the state health department should have a program of monitoring, but by not doing that, if they did that, then people would say, well, why are you monitoring us? And then they'd have to disclose, because we know that there's contaminants in there, dioxins, furans, and, you know, barium at high levels in lead and mercury in friable conditions, right? And so by taking that action and going, doing that testing and all, they would then be admitting that there might be a problem. Then they would have to disclose what was the problem, what presented the problem. And that's the cover-up. If you take no action, then there's no question.
My last statement, jumping to the mainland, there's a river that's been contaminated with this mine water. And my feeling was, rivers flow downstream. If you put contaminated water in there, it will disappear shortly because everything's moved. Already the mayor is drinking water from that stream. He says, there's no topic because it's already being cleared by natural flow of the water. You know, nature seems to take care of itself in many cases.
Well,
as long as you stop the source of the contamination.
Well, I don't know. Thank God we went to separate schools because I can only tell you, when a mayor sits, you see that trick all the time. That's not the first time. Gold mining has some harsh chemicals, and one of them being cyanide, right? They have even ponds that has cyanide. So you got to understand something. If it's out of sight, it's clean, right? So drink it, right? What about in the contents of the mud and on the plants and absorbed? We got to know the full science before we give a on all clear. And a sucker standing there drinking water, good for him. That's one way of getting rid of dumb politicians, you know.
Certain items like radiation, it will declare the soil unusable for 60, 90 years because of half-life of radioactive materials. And I was involved with experiments with the military with anthrax spores.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Mexico, they were doing some experiments with biological warfare, testing of anthrax spores, and happened. They got out of control. Anthrax spores got into the soil, and they declared that soil, that area, unusable for at least 100 years.
Well,
it depends on that.
Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about something we just discovered. These are professional agencies with experts, supposedly. You understand? And so this nonsense about what they should be doing, we shouldn't have to even discuss that. There's a problem at our doorstep, and they are supposed to be able to rise to the occasion and do what's right to protect the people, the environment, and they're just not doing it. It's all meetings. And Steve Chang said that it's tough, quote, it's tough because, one, it's a tough one because how much pressure can you put on the Navy without getting them to walk away from the table? Well, if you're wearing handcuffs and chains on your ankles, you ain't walking too damn far. You see, that's the regulatory body speaking, saying that. So this was a quote from the Star Advertiser, Friday, 8/14/15. So you understand, we have become a people that not to expect much from our government. So then our government knows that, and they come out there and roll out the BS.
Well, my last name is, we're fortunate to have an expert such as Gary Gill in government.
So, you know what? You know what? The seagull's going to take your ball for that comment. Take care, Ed. All righty, Marsha. One real quick. Got
it. I love it. The seagull. I love it.
Yeah, he thinks it's all right. Gary Gill. But he's going to go out to the golf course, and every seagull around going to see, oh, that's Ed's ball. Let me grab it and take it. He can't talk about our hero environmentalist, Gary Gill. But anyway, thank all of you guys for joining me. I would basically say that you should start demanding that the state initiate some action. Again, they need to put in place an action plan and get a geologist detection plan and an assessment plan and get moving. There's some serious water out there. I don't have much time, but real quick.
Okay, if you look at the Navy's record of where they've been, what they left the Philippines, where they left Barbara's Point, what they did with Diego Garcia, you'll see they have a poor record.
Yeah, or Camp Lejeune. You say, where people are dying like flies at a picnic when they've been sprayed. So this is a reality, and you don't have to take my word for it. Just look to see which neighbor of yours have stomach cancer or cancer or rare, and then you'll say what is going on. But enough talk already. I think that the newspapers talked about it over and over and over, but the demand is to stamp the feet and say to the governor, order those guys to enforce the law. It's time. So we'll talk to you next week, and thank all of you for joining me. Aloha.
Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.